Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm talking about. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, Honor the Fan, and of course, Worldwide on CBS Sports Network. We've got a great show for you today. Unless you're a baseball fan, the New York Mets going up against who? Former Met, Dylan G. How you like me now? And of course, you had my main man on the mound, DeGrominator. It, brutal, embarrassing. Another big loss for the Mets, and I don't care that they came back. They lost. Then you have the New York Yankees, and supposed to be the ace of the staff who yet again can't give the Yankees a chance to win. The Yankees came back, got it to 5-4. They lose. Plus, there's a lot of accusations of, oh, no, racism in the world. I'll get to all of it. First, good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy?
You know what? I'll tell you what, Craigie. A little troubled by what I'm watching on the baseball field from both the New York Mets overall, because the pitching staff now all of a sudden is devolved into a disaster. And then, of course, with Masahiro Tanaka and the problems that he is having, I mean, it's alarming. Now, I will tell you that as a Met fan, I'm really concerned after two really bad performances by DeGrom. I'm waiting to hear that he's got elbow or shoulder problems and they're going to shut him down for a month now. I can't wait for that to come, because that was the one guy that you thought you could rely on, and maybe he had one anomaly a couple starts ago, and now all of a sudden this one comes. And I mean, this one was brutal last night.
He's standing there crying in the dugout.
Right, I know. And I understand it means a lot to him. But here's the thing. You know, when I'm not trying to compare the two franchises. I'm just trying to compare the individual players. And the player that is DeGrom is basically a lower paid, trying to make it pitcher, trying to get to that big contract status, as compared to Tanaka, who's already at the big contract status. And I'm telling you, you know, both of them just about as bad as you can get. And if I'm the Yankees, I mean, when does this stop?
Yeah, no, listen, you're right. The only saving grace for the Yanks was that, you know, the relief pitchers came in, did a really good job. Offensively, they got within a run, so one swing in the back could have tied it. But you know, you have an expectation on a few things. One, on what are you paying the guy, for sure.
Yes.
And two, on just, you know, the talent you know he's got. And he has not delivered at all this year. And, you know, I keep referencing that Oakland story. That don't mean nothing, because he was brutal before. He's been brutal after. He only goes five innings. And I know we're all going to say, well, it's only five hits when they're all home runs. You know, listen, you know, you're down. You didn't give them the appropriate chance in that game. And what sucks about it is that, you know, with Tanaka, and I sat in our city yesterday, for some reason, that guy gives up home runs.
Yeah,
right?
He's
always giving up home runs. So now the Yanks still first place, but you have your ace of your staff 0-5 in his last five starts, despite starting the season 5-1. He is 2-4 against the American League East with an ERA of damn near 8, and you can no longer count on Tanaka, even on a Tanaka Tuesday, which is typically money in the bank, bro.
You know, the thing about it is he reminds me of what Jose Reyes is doing for the Mets, but then again, the Mets don't have that much invested
in
Jose Reyes.
Him, right?
You know, the Mets last night had 17 hits and lost. If Dylan G were starting for the Mets against the Texas Rangers, he would have gotten blown out by the Texas Rangers.
Exactly right.
I'm not saying that he didn't get blown out yesterday by the Mets. You know, he did not figure into the win-or-loss column. But the fact of the matter is, you lost to a guy that basically is hanging on. His career is in the balance, and you lost to that guy. And I mean, I don't know what to tell you about where the Mets are right now. I, you know, I was telling these guys they should probably start to the show with Roy Orbison's, it's over.
Yeah, it's very quickly going to become a point where they're not worth talking about. there is something major going on in New York, though, Booms, that is worth talking about. And while I get it, I don't like it. I don't like it one little bit. So the New York Jets yesterday released David Harris, who for the last 10 years has been one of their, if not their best, most consistent and reliable defensive player. And they let go of Eric Decker, who didn't play last year. So let me start with David Harris.
Well, they haven't let go of Eric Decker yet. They'll either trade him or they'll let him go. Yes.
So he's not a Jet anymore. We know that.
Right, right.
Let me start just before I get to each guy specifically, the general overview of this. I get it. I don't even disagree with the concept of cutting salary cap room and space, etc. The problem, though, is that you're shedding space and it's going to have no positive impact on you next year when you're going to go out and, in theory, spend a lot of money in free agency, maybe get another quarterback and see how it plays out. So getting rid of David Harris, who was set to make a non-guaranteed $6.5 million this year, a guy that's money good for 95-plus tackles every single year, a guy that in his 10-year career has missed five games, whatever it is, right? Reliable, good player, 10-year veteran for your team. Getting rid of him now to save money now does nothing positive for the New York Jets. It doesn't help them for next year at all. And what bothers me about it, not so much that they cut David Harris, it's the fact and the manner in which they did it.
Oh, stop.
Let David Harris go 2 months ago.
You know, I don't know what the reason why they let him go today or yesterday. I'm not sure about the timing, the whole thing. But you got to get over this, and fans have got to get over it. Look, we've all been through it. This is a business. And, Mike McKagan, to me, it seems like he's getting rid of good guys. And what I mean by good guys, I mean good guys in the locker room, but not overly emotional guys.
Right.
Not guys that are Ray Lewis type guys. These are good guys, and who may be pretty comfortable with their surroundings,
sure,
and all this other stuff. And it looks kind of like McKagan is trying to ramp it up now and start putting guys on notice. And, getting rid of Calvin Pryor, getting rid of, last year was not good enough.
Right.
It was not good enough.
And this year's going to be worse.
And we're going to get rid of the remnants of last year, and we're going to start to rebuild this team. And the amazing thing about this, as you read all the different articles, whether from Cimini to everybody else in between, is that it doesn't seem as if Todd Bowles has got any say in any of this. I mean, this is all
right,
Mike McKagan.
The theory would be, why would Todd Bowles not want David Harris back? Of course he wants him back. He knows him. He knows how he plays. He's reliable.
Right.
And what's the answer for David Harris?
This is this weird setup that the Jets have.
I agree.
And I have to imagine that, and Mike McKagan, you and I have spoken
to
him.
I don't mind that part of it.
A number of times that both of these guys do confer with each other, but I don't know. Listening to what Todd Bowles was saying and then watching what is happening doesn't seem to be meshing together the way that you would like it to mesh together. But then again, Todd is in a tough spot because he's the face of the franchise. He's the guy that every day is going to be grilled by the reporters, and they are grilling him. And his answers lead you to believe that it sounds like he's frustrated.
Yeah, it's almost, and then you get some of the stock cliched answers, which he has no choice but to give. Obviously, I'm in on the discussions. We're all on the same page.
But I'm just telling you right now, this sounds like Mike McKagan is not screwing around anymore.
I came here. That I like.
He came here as a novice, and he's been learning on the job. And I almost feel like this is like kind of Patriot-esque, like kind of like out of the blue. Big name guys are going.
But they are. What they are doing is, listen, it ain't like they've been so good for the last 2 years where you can't blame them for wanting to shut it down, break it down, and rebuild the damn thing. That's what they're doing. My point is, there's no benefit to the New York Jets for next year by cutting David Harris yesterday. None whatsoever. So if you want to renegotiate his deal, which apparently they were having conversations because
they
don't want
to pay
him
a salary cap,
and that's fine. And I don't know where that was, what he's asking for, or what they're offering.
But if
you're
David Harris, why would you take a salary cut?
But you're making.
I'm playing the same amount of downs. I'm giving you the same amount of tackles. Why would you want me, or why would I? And this is a problem that NFL players have. So, like, for a guy like David Harris, This is why you never, ever, ever question a player sitting out. So let me fast forward this to Odell Beckham Jr. I think all of this crap that's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. is about one thing and one thing only, and that is about his salary. It's about making $1.8 million this year when he's clearly the best player on his team, when he's clearly the top wide receiver in the league. He does not want to come to OTAs
right.
if he's not being paid. Now, Olivier Vernon's not coming to OTAs either,
nope.
and he has gotten paid. I think Olivier Vernon may be doing it because of tax issues that he has to be. I think he's down in Florida.
He has to live in a place. He has got to be a pillow, right?
for six months. He's got to be down there in Florida, so I guess he's got to count every day. So I kind of understand that. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is more about, look, I'm underpaid. And it's not out there yet.
It's not the Giants' fault, though.
It's not out there because he's playing under a certain collective bargaining agreement
right.
between the owners and the players. I mean, so I think that if you're David Harris, you have a right to be pissed this morning because they, in theory, and you're right, kind of held you out. You know what I'm saying? From being a free agent where you could have really picked
a job.
To get a job. Now, I think he's good enough, and I think he's experienced enough. That would I be surprised if Miami or Buffalo or any of his former coaches that are probably around the league,
he will be playing football this year, for sure.
Without question.
Yeah,
he will have just
a matter of how much.
Just like Jeremy Maclin will be playing football.
Right. Listen, I'm with you that it is a business and it's a cold-blooded business. It's why I never ever yell at a player take issue with a player holding out or wanting to renegotiate a deal.
So let me ask you this. If Odell Beckham Jr., which I don't think he'll do, I don't think he'll do it, but if Odell Beckham Jr. held out right now, would you be pissed off at him? Going into his fourth year of a five-year contract
and
being under the same system as all these other players are, and you know that he could come here and blow a knee out in practice.
I get it. I would not. I don't know what the CBA is in regards to getting your first contract when you're allowed to renegotiate. I guess whenever you want, right?
Whatever the team wants, really.
Yeah. So I would have absolutely no problem with it. And here's why: David Harris is set to make $6.5 million this year. Now he's making zero, and not only that. He goes to OTAs. He works out with everyone. He's in the facility. He's David Harris. He's probably a Ring of Honor when it's all said and done.
And this is why, if you are Odell Beckham Jr. or you are a player in the NFL and you're pissed off at your contract,
right.
you don't show up.
Exactly right.
This is exactly why. That's why.
I wish they had done it 2 months ago.
Really conflicted over this whole thing because with Odell, because I know that it's OTAs. And then when you hear what Dak Prescott and Bill Belichick is no days off, and Dak Prescott, this is where the foundation of winning begins. It's at OTAs and all that other crap. What does Odell Beckham Jr. have to prove to the New York Giants that he hasn't already proved?
Nothing. And by the way, I don't know if they've asked. I don't know if the Giants have called about a new contract.
It's interesting, but it is kind of speaking to a couple guys yesterday. I don't want to put names out there, but
right.
speaking to a couple guys yesterday. It's kind of like the culture that the Giants allowed to fester with Odell Beckham Jr. Since the first day that he got there.
Yes, absolutely right. And don't forget, started with the hamstring, then the whole Coughlin stuff and him going crazy on the sideline. And even Tom Coughlin didn't really grab a hold of it. And now he's taking shots through social media as coach. And he recognizes clearly, and how could you not, his status in the league from a talent standpoint, what he means to his franchise.
A popularity standpoint.
And then and if I'm him, it's very simple. You could just point to David Harris. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right, I wouldn't be surprised.
You got no loyalty to me.
Right.
And I don't have any to you. It's about money, right?
Talk to Victor Cruz.
Right, and the David Harris thing bothers me. Listen,
you shouldn't let it.
The New York Jets are going to be a bad football team.
Let me explain something to you. I mean, the Patriots have been doing this for years.
I know, but I'm a Jet fan.
But I'm just saying that it happens around the league.
I get it.
I mean, Jeremy Maclin just got let go by the...
Let me ask you a question.
He was not a 10-year player. I understand that.
Do you think... I'm asking. I don't know the answer to this question. Do you think the Jets just came up with the concept of, let's get rid of David Harris, or do you think it's something they knew a month ago?
I think it's something that they probably took stock in once they traded Pryor for DeMario Davis.
So maybe in the last week.
And, the other thing, too, just think about this for David Harris. The good news is that David Harris now should be able to, I don't think anybody will pick him up on waivers, but should be able to pick a team that he wants to go to. And you know what? Let's say it was the Steelers.
Right.
Let's say it was the Bengals. Let's say it was the Saints. Or let's say it was even, I don't know, the Carolina Panthers.
Chance
or
to win.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
Yes, or how about the Oakland Raiders? They could use a guy like,
And dare I say it, how about the New England Patriots? I don't know what their situation is.
But I'm just saying there's another side to it. And the side to it is that, okay, he now gets, David Harris gets to leave here, take a big deep breath, and pick a team that he thinks will be able to win over the next 2 years.
Yep. So, listen, at the end of the day, maybe it works out for David Harris. He gets to go to
don't
a team
worry about
that
David
compete.
Harris. He'll be fine.
I don't worry about him personally. I don't know the man. The optics has become the big word in sports, right? That's bad optics. Oh, that looks bad. The optics of that stink. What the Jets are doing, I think we all get as Jet fans. You're blowing up a bad situation. It ain't like we were good last year. And, oh, my God, you're not bringing everybody back?
Right.
So I get it. I also get the need to free up as much cap space for next year as possible. I'm down with that.
Yep.
Listen, Eric Decker, I don't even know if he's able to play football this year after the two injuries, but assuming he is, what I don't get is what is the benefit? And I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer. What is the benefit to the Jet franchise
after June, for
this year to cut David Harris?
Well, it's after June 1st. It's all about salary cap. And it's all about...
For next year, though,
well,
right?
Yeah, but it's still about salary cap.
So
but
let's
it's
save
also
money this year, too.
Save money this year, too, which also could be an edict from the owner. Look, if we're not going to win, we might as well get rid of these guys.
I think that's exactly what
money.
It is.
So it could be a part of that as well.
But we don't want to hear that.
I know that, but you know, let's be realistic about what the Jets are right now. The Jets are a team that is trying to rebuild itself and try to stay relevant while doing it. And unfortunately, last year was a disaster. The year before... You know, this is where I think they made the mistake. It was the year before when, Ryan Fitzpatrick ended up doing what he did against a terrible schedule. And they probably had a false pretext that, we're pretty good. We won 10-6.
Right.
And then they come back. They have a much tougher schedule. Things don't go well. And now all of a sudden, instead of starting over from day one when Mike McCagan got here, he's starting over at year three.
Listen,
it's just a matter of circumstances.
But I would say this. I think you made the point, and it's the only point that counts right now. And that is we have an owner who has passed down the edict to the general manager.
I don't know about that.
I believe this to be 100%. Hey, next year we're going to go spend. We're going to bring in guys. Hopefully we'll have a quarterback by then, and we're going to go for it, right?
Right.
The problem with that is... This year, you're telling your fan base in spades, you ain't got to come watch us play this year at all. And by getting rid of Harris and ultimately today Eric Decker, the Jets have gotten rid of over $50 million in salary.
The other thing is what are they going to do with Sheldon Richardson? Is that thing still hanging out there? Is that guy going to end up staying here? How's that going to work out? Is he the next guy that's going to be traded out of here or whatever?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you? Get rid of everybody. Bring in a couple college kids that you're on the street right now. I mean, you've given up on the season already, and I get it. We weren't going to win anyway.
Craig, given up. I mean, they had the worst, maybe the second to worst quarterback situation in all the NFL today as we speak.
And that whoever winds up winning the job has no chance.
Well, the first, I think it's probably going to be Josh McCown. Now, all the reports that I have over, from the Jets and talking to a couple of the players and everything else, that Johnny Morton's a really high-intensity, up-tempo coach.
Okay.
Totally opposite of what Chan Gailey was. Chan Gailey was reserved. He was older guy, kind of more staid in his approach and all that other stuff. Supposedly, Johnny Morton has got these guys going 100 miles an hour in practice.
That's great.
I love that. I love that. And I do believe that they have a really good system. The question is, the first time you put that team out there in a real game against Buffalo in front of 80,000 people, you're going to have 11 guys in that huddle that have no idea what to expect from each other. And the quarterback is going to be, unfortunately, the benefactor of that lack of togetherness and being in that situation. Tom Brady has the ability at the age of 40 to step on the field, going through a million scenarios with all the guys that he's on the field with, so you can't catch him off guard.
Right.
And he knows what to expect from the guys he's playing with. Tyrod Taylor, Josh McCown, Bryce Petty, Christian Hackenberg do not have that part of it because they're both, both teams are going through changeovers with new coaches.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else that happens. You know, when Woody Johnson comes out and says, and I'm quoting now, for a decade, David House represented the Jets with character and professionalism. He held himself to the highest of standards and always carried himself with quiet dignity and humility. While these decisions are always difficult and the timing is not ideal, David will always be a Jet, and I appreciate his leadership and passion. So now flip the script. Harris's agents, quote, very disappointing in the timing of this event and the decision. The Jets could have done this prior to free agency instead of waiting 3 months, especially for a player who has exhibited loyalty and class for 10 years.
I get it. There's the emotional aspect. We all went through it. I went through it. Everybody goes through it. And everybody has to get their pound of flesh. I understand that. But I don't care what you say. Mike Maccagnan has one responsibility and one responsibility only, and that is to the owner of the football team.
That's right. I get that.
The owner of the football team to do what the owner wants, and number two, what he thinks is in the best interest of the football team.
Right.
It has nothing to do with individual personalities. You got to run it like a business. The players are commodities. It's an unfortunate situation. When a player like Odell Beckham Jr. or like David Harris, when he re-signed his second contract, get the money that they get. They're getting compensated for what they've given.
That's right.
So I don't know.
They saved just under $14 million by cutting Harris and today Decker.
So here you go. David Harris will sign with another team, and don't be surprised if you see him in the playoffs next year. And when they go to interview him about, you know, his new team, he's going to be effervescent. Oh, I love it. It's going to be great, and everything's going to be fine. So enough with the, we treated him so badly.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan. I will tell you that the Jets made another announcement yesterday. They will not punish Darren Lee for his behavior at the concert.
Nor should they.
Just to let you know, they announced yesterday.
His teammate got his back and got him out of a mess. Oh, nope. We're investigating. Investigating what?
What do you think Woody Johnson does with the $54 million he's no longer paying people this year? Maybe throw a little our way. What up? Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
How about loading it up for next year, just like Jerry Reese did last year?
How about this? How about we lower ticket prices? How about that? You just saved over $50 million. How about you cut ticket prices by 10%?
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
Jerry, what do you got?
We are brought to you by Bruni and Campisi Air Conditioning. Keep cool and visit bruniandcampisi.com. Well, what we got are home runs, and we've got a lot of them, and none for the home team. We'll start in the Bronx, where Boston went deep on a few occasions.
Well, here is the 2-1. Swung on, there it goes. Deep right, it is high. No. It is far. It is gone.
Tanaka Tuesday.
A long two-home run for Mitch Moreland. Ooh. I mean, that was lost.
Bang.
The minute he swung the bat, that was gone. A two-run home run for Moreland, his seventh of the year, and Boston takes a 3-1 lead.
We got Tanaka.
We got Tanaka.
We got John Sterling on the
crap.
Flat. Hanley Ramirez would then come up. He would hit a home run. Andrew Benintendi would hit a home run in the fifth inning. Yeah, and this was part of a 5-4 win for the Red Sox. Craig Kimbrell came in, got the final four outs. He struck out five for the save. And the Red Sox take the series opener, get to within a game of the Yankees.
That's not accurate.
What's not accurate?
He can't get the last four guys out but strike out five.
I said he got the last four outs and he struck out five. That is true.
He got the last four outs, but he struck out five.
It was a wild
five,
pitch
yes.
where the Yankees scored a run.
I would just say this. To me, I'm just sensing like a free fall for the Yankees coming up.
You think a free fall? It's not inaccurate.
It was a
5-4
game, Ace.
Yeah, just,
it didn't feel like it, though.
It was a 5-4 game.
It felt like they got drilled.
They lost by one run.
They also had opportunities.
Yes,
they're hitting
they did.
Double plays.
Yeah,
what
get the big hit?
How about
you're not always going to get the big hit.
How about in the ninth inning? You got your big guys coming up and strike one, strike two, strike three. It's like Bugs Bunny. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Gary Sanchez.
Yes.
Ball almost hit him in the shoulder.
Brett Gardner, Gary Sanchez, Aaron
and then
Judge.
Aaron Judge threw a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
Actually swung in a lot of bad pitches.
Well, the one he struck out on was right down the pike. And, I noticed he moved his head out a little bit.
He pulled the head out. Head down
He's
the barrel.
Trying to yard it.
Matter of fact, there were when you looked at last night, the home plate umpire, his name was Tom Hallion. He had some fun calling third strikes. that was picked up on. Not only was he loud, it was like Leslie Nielsen. I mean, he had the movements going.
Right, you almost want to be like, hey, I struck out. I know I struck out. I don't need, hey!
Yeah, that was all funny. Over you.
Paul O'Neill will feel 10 times worse than you already do.
Right, it's like, and guess what?
Paul O'Neill, I don't want to say he was killing him on the broadcast, but he was like, you know, listen, I just struck out. We don't need that.
Right, meanwhile, exactly. During the broadcast, you know, yeah. Tanak is having a real tough time, obviously. So after the second home run, the Ramirez home run,
yes,
I think it was.
Yes, it was.
Larry Rothschild's going to trot on out to the mound, have a little chat with his starting pitcher.
Yep.
And another guy goes with him. And it's the Japanese translator for Tanaka.
Right.
All right? So Jerry Remy, who played for the Red Sox and is a broadcaster for them, is doing the game last night. And I know Jerry's got the sound. We'll play it in a second. He took issue with the fact that the translator is going out to the mound with the pitching coach. Now, let me play the raw audio, unedited. Go ahead.
I forgot with Tanaka, they take out a translator. I don't think that should be legal. Seriously. I really don't.
Now, I did stop it because there's a right. pitch in between.
Now, Dave O'Brien is the correct. Play-by-play man for the Red Sox after the pitch. Now, this is what's interesting about this. He could have let it be.
Right.
I think, not knowing what Remy's going to say, he did him a terrible disservice by extending the topic. He didn't know what Remy's going to say. This is where you got to protect your partner and let it be. He said nothing offensive in the first line other than he just don't like it, right?
Okay.
But O'Brien can't let it go.
What is it you don't like about that?
Now, stop it right there. Stop it. Now, here's... You don't know what he said. You're going to hear it in a minute. Here's what's problematic about what O'Brien did there. He doesn't know either. Right. Now, Remy could come out and say anything. He doesn't like Japanese people. He doesn't like the fact that you haven't learned English. Go back to your own country if you don't speak. He could have said a lot of things, right?
Right.
And O'Brien's got no idea what he's going to say because he's asking him, what exactly don't you like about it? That's a bad job by a partner. But how did Remy handle the question?
Learn baseball language. You know, learn, you know, it's pretty simple. I mean, you break it down pretty easy between pitching coach and pitcher after a long period of time.
Now, there's nothing offensive about that at all.
Not at all.
It's not actionable. It's not offensive.
What am I,
it's not racial. It's not motivated by skin color. It ain't a religion. But nothing. There's nothing patently offensive about what he said there. At all, correct?
Right.
And yet, is there more, Jerry?
I mean, I have two more clips.
Go
if
right
you
ahead
want.
And play them so we have the whole story. Go.
Dave O'Brien commented on that.
I would say that probably, you know, they're concerned about nuance being lost in some of these conversations. Wanting to get it right 100%, although it was a very quick conversation, as we noted.
All right, so then the balls fouled off.
Yeah,
and
Larry
then,
said to him, you all right?
And then it ends
I'm all right.
I'm probably in a minority in that. My feeling, I just don't think it, I don't think it's necessary. I don't know. It's just, that's just me.
And that was pretty much the end
now,
of it.
So what's offensive it. By anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
But how are people reacting
to it?
So
you can't have an open about conversation about something
We're
that may trouble
about
you
that's
about
right.
baseball? I mean,
so let me say this.
Please,
Remy said nothing wrong.
Nothing.
He said nothing offensive.
It's his opinion, right.
No, but even... There are opinions that are offensive. This ain't one of them.
No, but you're right. But
so back off.
Who took issue with it?
It's all
it's
over.
It's been written about
everywhere. Boom. It's like, Remy's got to apologize. No, apologize for what? What did he say that was so offensive?
It's not offensive. I mean,
no.
I don't think he's
and
right.
By the way,
but it's not offensive.
I listen, Larry Rothschild goes out there. He wants to make sure, hey, you okay? Did you feel okay? After being in Major League Baseball for what now, 3 years?
Yes.
Right?
And being around Larry Rothschild for what, I would say probably close to 20 months?
I'm assuming that Tanaka, I don't know as a fact, but I'm assuming he understands the question in English. Are you okay? He don't need a translator for that.
But is that all that he goes out there to say?
I'm not saying he does, but it was a very quick trip. I'm assuming that's what he's asking him.
But if I'm just talking about you guys say somebody's taking issue with it, like who?
Well, why write about it?
But who is taking
it? It's in the paper. It's online. The audio is everywhere.
So what?
Well, you're asking who's taking issue. We're giving you the answer. When you write about it, that means someone's got an issue with it.
Sports Illustrated, ABC News, every, of course, newspaper.
What do they say?
You pick one. Illustrated or ABC? Pick one.
All right, give me Sports Illustrated and give me the writer's name.
All right, Sports Illustrated. This is Chris Chavez. Boston Red Sox analyst Jerry Remy said that it should be illegal for translators to go to the mound on visits and foreign pitchers should learn, quote-unquote, baseball language. All right?
Okay.
Let me get to the bottom of it here. They show a clip of it, blah, blah, blah. My man, let me say this. My man, Sports Funhouse, is like the new
go-to
provider of clips.
Yes.
Everyone's using it. He's just recording crap off TV, but everyone's using his stuff. He became a rock star overnight. Hold on. I apologize. I didn't know you were going to ask for this, so I didn't have this prepared. In this one, they're just acknowledging what Remy said.
All right, so nobody's taking issue with
it. Chavez
why
is
write
not.
It, though? Why don't we write a story about what they said in the seventh inning?
All right, so give me somebody else.
Trust me, I'm trying
just
to
just by
deal.
Writing it, you're taking issue
I'm
with it.
Trying.
But we're talking about it. So.
Let me see if I got something here from ABC News. All right? ABC News, Ben Walker, AP baseball writer. I think a lot of them are merely, I don't know that he's an
they're
opinion.
They're just reporting it.
Because he's not a columnist.
Right, so they're just reporting it.
He's a 2013 MLB adopted rule that permitted interpreters to join it. Then that's on the heels of the situation filled with Mike Schmidt, where Mike Schmidt said that outfielder Odubel Herrera's language barrier would make it difficult for him to be a team leader.
I have those
I haven't
too.
Agreed with that also.
I have those as well.
If I don't understand what you're saying, or vice versa, it'd be hard for you to lead me somewhere if we can't communicate with one another, right? English to Spanish or Spanish to English. That's that. I want to see if there's a column on it, all right?
I'll tell you what, people are just way
I just want to say, what did he say that's wrong or offensive?
I think they're just
again,
reporting it, but it doesn't sound like it's offensive.
It's not that it's offensive, but I do think it's wrong.
Why?
Who is he to have to learn English? He's paid to play baseball. If you get paid to go play in Japan, is it going to be easy for you to learn Japanese baseball lingo?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Lingo, though, I could be wrong. If you lived in Japan for 3 years.
Sure.
Don't you think you'd pick up something?
Perhaps, but to Dave O'Brien's point, you don't want anything lost in translation. You want to make sure you got this.
What are we sharing, nuclear secrets?
No, but
throw the fastball.
You're the first one. Aren't you the first one to say, though, when the translator gives us an answer, sometimes it's a lot longer than the question.
I hate the concept of the translator. I always have.
But it is necessary.
My feeling is that after a certain amount of time playing baseball here, that you should have, I would think you've picked up enough of the language to be able to communicate. That's just my opinion on it.
But what if they don't?
Well,
like, who are we to say that they should know by now?
I also think using a translator is a crutch for some foreign-born players. It's just easier to do it. I ain't got a dog.
And it's also easier not to lose something in translation and they get written about the wrong way because we don't understand what they were saying.
We were talking about, of all the things that the pitching coach is going to, you didn't play beyond high school, but maybe you know this better than me. Of all the things a pitching coach is going to say to a player in the situation last night, it ain't Rubik's Cube.
So are you okay? Everything okay? Everything? Your arm okay? Everything feel fine?
Right. That's the first thing he's asking.
The other
for
thing
sure.
that I could see where there could be a need for a translator is if they're going over like a game plan.
Right.
Maybe for another guy that's coming up or something and you want to go a little bit more into detail. I could see that. It doesn't seem to bother. I know it may bother Jerry Remy. It may bother other people too. It didn't seem to bother the coaching staff.
I don't know. I just, the whole thing.
Well, they dealt
strange.
With it with Daisuke Matsuzaka a few years ago.
Yes.
As well. And they said they went to great lengths, the coaching staff did, to learn to speak to him.
Some Japanese. So yeah, there's probably some Japanese that's being used by some of these coaches as well. And I would imagine some Spanish.
Sure.
Right?
Listen, the whole thing is stupid.
Well,
it's just stupid.
CC Sabathia.
And by the way, I know that I'm going off on a tangent on this, but it just. We invent trouble when trouble doesn't need to be invented. And we've become so, what happened to us? Like, this is such a non-story. And people writing about it, like, Jerry Remy's, oh my God, Joe Mike, what did he say? Hey, what did he say? He said nothing offensive or objectionable. You gotta get over yourselves.
He didn't say what Bill Maher said.
We've become so sensitive and about what?
Agreed.
Jesus.
I mean,
oh,
really?
No.
You want to talk about offensive and
Bill Maher?
Oh my gosh! It doesn't get worse than that.
Oh no. Oh my God, I can't believe Jerry Remy just said he doesn't like translators. Oh! Pandemonium in Piscataway. Well, you know, get
sometimes
it.
This radio program needs a translator.
Oh! When's that?
Oh!
Oh my gosh.
I tell you, you know what's more offensive than what Jerry Remy said? The way Tanaka pitched.
Yes.
The way the Mets are playing.
Yeah.
You know,
DeGrom pitched.
You know, it's just, come on, man.
What was going on with DeGrom in the dugout last
night? We've changed. I don't like it.
Huh?
We've changed.
I mean, Terry Collins.
I give Terry Collins credit. This is what I liked about Terry Collins. Now, the problem is that you know the cameras are on you. And you have, I just can't believe it. Dylan G's going to beat me.
He sucked too, thankfully.
You know, I thought I was going to be the ace of the staff again, but I guess I'm not. Oh, Terry, give me a hug.
I like the fact that he cares enough, but dude, crying in the dugout. Ooh, 4 innings, 10 hits, 8 runs.
He was awful.
A walk, 2 strikeouts.
You know,
and then poor Terry Collins. God knows the gibberish he was talking. And
I mean, he needs a translator. That's what I'm saying.
Hug.
The worst part of it was the Mets gave him a lead in every inning.
3 innings in a row.
Gave it right back.
They gave him 1-run leads.
Terrible.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. So they lost 10-8. Scooter Gennett had 4 home runs, drove in 10. What else can I tell you?
4 home runs.
4 home runs.
God, you never heard of it. 4 home runs against you.
Tonight in Cleveland, game 3.
8 games under .500.
NBA Finals, Cavs and Warriors. Golden State up 2 games tonight.
Rome is burning, and God knows where the, you know, Jeff Wilpon or Sandy Olsen are. Wonder if they even watch the games anymore.
They're not easy to watch, I'll tell you that.
They're not easy to watch. And
no, they're not.
And what's weird about it, you know, you look at the final score, you go, they were 10-8.
By the way, they had chances,
And they did have chances to even tie it and maybe take the lead.
Yeah.
So I do respect the fight and the fact that they didn't just give up at-bats, you know, down 8-2, or 8-4 at least for sure.
Told you they score 8 runs and DeGrom's starting.
Yes. How did they not win? They got 8 runs with DeGrom.
God.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Terrible.
Oh, they give up 10.
It's so frustrating right now. And it has been. And it has been. It has been now for a good 6 weeks.
I will say this. Last night is probably, on the Yankee side, probably the third time this year, I felt where when you turned on the TV, you're like, that's awesome. Now, not that they lost, obviously, but that place was packed.
Yeah.
You know, the bleachers are packed. Typically, you turn on the game, and for the first 3 innings, there ain't nobody sitting behind the plate. And even though, you know, Tanaka was terrible, Al's right when he complains that when you turn on a game, even if you love the team that you're watching, when it looks like there's no one there, it's hard to watch that. When you have a game last night where the place is packed, that's a game you want to leave on the TV because it looks good, you know?
Well, it depends on the type of fan you are. If you're a diehard, you're watching the game.
I'm not saying you're not going to watch. I'm saying it's not as entertaining or exciting when there's
a feel
nobody
to it.
There.
You're right. 42,000 yesterday in their
seats.
There's
like a tangible dynamic to seeing people enjoying themselves in the Bronx.
An electricity.
On electricity even, boom.
Yeah.
Even that. Boom, did you ever have a nickname?
Well, the Red Sox were in town, so they brought the electricity with them.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
They played well.
Yankee
they
hater.
Did, yes.
Here's my
I'm not
question.
A Yankee hater,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Other than Boomer.
Yes.
I was told something yesterday, and
okay.
I want to see if you're going to be honest with the audience or not. I want you to think about it, and then we'll come back after the break with it. I was told yesterday that you had another nickname. That's what I was told yesterday.
Okay.
And that nickname, you earned the nickname. It started in your third year in Cincinnati, that someone gave you a name, and amongst the guys, it was not like very public, amongst the guys, you had like a secondary nickname.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
King Pipeline.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
30-year history of the radio station. I'm like, fantastic. Who is it?
No, don't.
I'm not saying. I ain't saying nothing.
Don't.
Now, there's a couple guys coming in that I know and like.
Yes.
And they'll be a part of the show. They don't really have a connection to the 30-year history per se, but they're nice guys. What is it?
We just booked Brett Yormark.
The CEO, of course, of a Barclays Center, and they oversee Nassau Coliseum.
Yes, sir.
He's a good friend of the show. I got no problem with that. And
Russ Salzburg's going to come by.
I asked,
a good one.
I asked them. I take responsibility for Russ Salzburg because.
Well, how long did the sweater and the schmoozer last?
Oh, the sweater and the schmoozer.
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. Wow. Good.
So I said, if you're going to do a 30th anniversary, then that show should be kind of, unless something major in sports happens, of course, that you have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's lie about graffiti on our fence. You have to pay kind of homage to what that show is, right?
Yeah.
I go, so I wanted Dave Sims and Russ Salzburg, and you know, I wanted to go, you know, fan, 30th anniversary.
Does he wear sweaters? Is that
why? I
think
he has to.
He was the sweater?
Yeah. The first time I met him was at a golf
tournament. Well, on Channel 9.
Okay, I'll tell the story tomorrow.
I was just saying, on Channel 9 when he was doing the sports, he would always wear a sweater.
Yes, that was his thing.
Yes.
Hey, I'm the guy in a sweater. He couldn't write backwards, though, like Lori Lindsay Young. I'm just saying, not everyone can do that. Here is Joe in Bayport on the fan. Joe, how you doing?
Craigie, Boomer, how you guys doing?
All right, Joey, what's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Just had a couple bold predictions for tonight. For tonight's MLB games. I think the Yankees are going to be the bombers and score 9-plus runs. I think the Mets are going to get blown out. And I think Zach Greinke is going to have a no-hit bid against the Padres.
Let me ask you a question. So for the Red Sox, it's Rick Porcello pitching, right?
Yeah, don't worry. They can hit anyone these days. I mean,
by the way,
anybody can hit their pitchers too.
I like the way you think, Joe. I'm down with what you're saying. Now, speaking of that, if I may,
yeah.
And once again, you know, Jerry has failed me personally on this.
Okay.
You may remember yesterday, guy called in and we were talking about Houston. And we're talking about, at some point, you got to bet against them.
Right.
Right.
You said last night would be the night because you looked at the numbers. You said, it's speaking to me.
I go, I don't even know who's pitching, but based on what the odds of the game were from a gambling standpoint, I said on the show that that's the night I would have taken Kansas City.
And guess what? Kansas City won.
Well, now, hold on. So Houston gets out, boom, to a 7-1 lead. It's 7-2 after 4. I'm being bombarded, of course, in social media. You don't know anything what you're talking about. Once again, I wasted my money on your lousy advice. Go F yourself.
And what happens after they won 9-7?
They win 9-7, and I didn't say nothing.
Did those idiots come back to you on social media and say, you got it right?
One guy said, I apologize. I was very, very emotional. So I'm telling you, there's an old concept, man, where it's the spread speaks to you. And you had
you've said that a lot about football. You've said that a lot about
basketball. And listen, at the end of the day, it's still dumb luck, you know.
Right.
But when Mike Moustakas hit that home run with two outs in the ninth, that was it. Peace out. So it's another win. Just added to the ledger of wins. Mike's on the fan, Boomer and Carton. Mike, what do you got?
Guys, good morning from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope you're doing well.
What's happening, Mike?
Well, I got a Boomer for Boomer. Can you tell me, I mean, and Carden, I know you can answer this too, but the best case scenario for the Jets, they have to go 1-15. They have to go after this kid. As of now, this kid, this quarterback from USC, Sam Drafford, is the number one quarterback.
Sam Darnold. There's another kid at UCLA called, his name's Josh Rosen. Now, the interesting thing about this is Sam Darnold will be going into his sophomore year. This will be his third year there. He had a redshirt freshman year. Who's to say that he's going to want to come out? Who's to say that he's going to have a great season? Who's to say he's not going to get hurt? So you have no idea what's going to be available when the draft comes next April. The other thing, too, is that Josh Rosen, some people believe, is just as good, if not better, and he's the quarterback at UCLA. So, I mean, nothing
That'd
is
be a
etched
great game
in stone
they play,
right
Jim.
Now. I mean, there's nothing, you know, there's a lot of football left to be played.
Here's
so.
The other problem. If I think you're right. I think that's got to be the mental kind of gymnastics that they have to play about next year if they think one of those two quarterbacks is the guy. You know, and it comes down to the question of the quote-unquote tanking of a season. Now, the players don't tank. An organization can tank by putting a lesser product out there, which it looks like the New York Jets are going to do. But it tells you a lot. And I think most people are right in their assumptions about the Jets' view next year as their kind of breakout year from a spending money standpoint. And I also agree that they must think, whether it's Rosen or Darnold, they must think so highly of one of them two kids where they're willing to have another brutal season to hopefully have the rights to get him. But what you say, Boomer, is more important than what the Jets want to do. you're talking about two kids, right?
Right.
Darnold had obviously a really
Darnold.
Good year.
D-A-R-N-O-L-D.
I think it's Darnold, though.
No, Darnold. Sam Darnold.
I think they pronounce it Darnold.
We have a Darnold, and he's the catcher of the Mets.
Darnold? I don't think it's Darnold.
Sam
I think
Darnold.
I think you have that wrong.
All right, whatever.
In any event, whatever. Sammy D is what I'll call
All
him
right.
if he comes here.
If, in fact, he's the guy that you
he
want.
He has that great game against Penn State in the Rose Bowl, right?
Okay.
And, you know, the poise, the confidence. Like, he was great. So we all fall in love with him immediately. We want, he's 6'4". He looks the part physically. He's calm under. That's our guy. But here's the thing everyone forgets. That kid has played all of how many games at the college level? 11, 10, whatever
it
is?
That, no, not I don't even
8,
that much.
7, 6. Mike, maybe help me count. I don't know the exact number of games that Sam has played. Boomer's looking it up right now.
13 games. 10 but
how
games
did he start?
He's played in 10. I mean, he's played in 13. He started 10.
All right, so he's started in 10 games.
He threw 31 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. That,
which is great. I mean, college, I don't put
it's
as Pac-12, much stock in
yeah,
that.
But it's Pac-12. It's pro-style offense. It's he's got all the physical attributes that you want.
Here's the dangerous game that the Jets and many teams have played, and that is there's no guarantee. Like, you're playing for the number one pick right now, assuming that this kid, or maybe Rosen, is going to be the kid. You know, this kid could come out this year and be average.
Who knows? You never know.
And then, so then what do you do? So I just think, I think the Jets now, and I know you're gonna mock me on this and poo-poo this idea. You want to cut all the salary? Great. You have a plan for next year? Listen, we've supported the Brooklyn Net plan because we know what it is. The Jets haven't announced this, but I agree. We now know the Jet plan, and I'm good with the plan.
Dude, they can't come out and say, hey, look, we're trying to lose to get a quarterback.
I know.
They can't say that,
but
and
we
they're
know
not
the plan.
Going to say that.
But I think it's fair. We know the Jet plan, and I'm supportive of the overall plan
so,
as long as they spend the money next year. But you owe me something now. And what the Jets now have to do, that the Jets have to now be the most forward-thinking, fan-friendly team in town because you've ruined our football season for this year. We'll buy into the notion of we're going to be crazy spenders next year, but you got to do something special for us this year. You do.
You know,
sorry, man. It's a public trust.
So here's the interesting thing. Looking at the teams in the NFL and who are going to be, you know, what you would think if you were predicting today, what you think is going to happen.
Yes.
In terms of records.
I'll give it to you right now.
Okay, so the Buffalo Bills, you know what? Are they going to be worse than the Jets? They're going through a whole new coaching staff.
They will not be worse than the Jets.
They won 7 games last year. Tyrod Taylor most likely will be their starting quarterback again. They still have LeSean McCoy. They're trying to get Jeremy Maclin to sign there. I mean, there's still some good players there, and they'll have a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
So I think that they, you know, at worst, they're 6-10. At
okay.
worst.
Go ahead. Now right. go to the Cleveland Browns.
Go to the Cleveland Browns. They were 1-15 last
They'll
year.
They'll be better.
They should be better. I don't know how much better. And remember, they are in a division where they are clearly the fourth best team. A lot of youth, a lot of question marks.
4-12.
A lot of question marks at quarterback. Is it going to be DeShone Kizer? Is it going to be Brock Osweiler? You know, who's going to be starting for them? So you have issues with them, too. So they're going to be another team that's going to be high in the draft next
okay,
year.
Okay, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, I personally
you
think
like
Jacksonville
him.
Is going to be a lot better this year because
so
of the culture change. And I do believe that Tom Coughlin's going to have a really right. huge impact in that organization.
Don't even bother looking at the AFC West. You can move right along to the NFC.
What about I don't know about Kansas City. I know that they were a playoff team the last few years.
They're still a good football team. They're not going 2-14.
Right, plus they have Andy Reid as the coach.
Yeah,
but
forget about the NFC East.
What about the Chargers?
As long as you have Phillip Rivers there, you have a chance to compete and win every game.
New stadium, small stadium,
yeah.
That whole weird
thing
going on there.
The Bears become interesting to me just based on...
What about the NFC East? You think,
forget about it.
All right. So there are, in other words, all those teams are going to be better than the
significantly
Jets.
Significantly better. They're not on the table.
Okay. How about the NFC North?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears obviously coming off a 3-win season, but they're all better than the Jets. They are. I mean,
why are the Bears better than the Jets? I mean, what's their quarterback situation?
I said they have an interesting quarterback situation, but they're better than the Jets.
Mike Glennon is going to lead that team to 10 wins?
More wins than the Jets.
Okay.
Now, the Niners, who knows?
See, but now the Niners have a new coaching staff, new quarterback. They will be better just simply because they're actually making an attempt to be better.
So we have basically the Jets right now today. Not very little argument.
What about the Rams?
Yeah, the Rams are foobard. I'll give you what they went, 4 games last year. The Jets right now are the worst team in football. Sorry.
Well, the Rams have Jared Goff, second year, first overall pick in the draft last year. They got to get something out of
the Jets.
Another new coach, by the way, at the Rams. So you got to believe anybody that has a new coach, there should be a little bit of an uptick,
little
I would
bump,
think.
Right? Boomer and Carton on the Fan. So here's the good news.
Much like Todd Bowles and Mike McCagan had a bump when they got here.
I'll say this. It's interesting to see the New York teams competing for who can be worse. The Knicks, the Jets, the Nets. It's like a big competition. We're worse than you. No, you're not. We're worse than you.
The Mets
and then
right
you put
now.
The Mets in there. Oh, we're the worst of all because we thought we were going to win a World Series, and we bowed out our chest going, look at my muscles. We're going to win a World Series.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
NBA sources or...
Sources.
Or experts that Carmelo would not be a good fit for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And, you know, when you watch the way the Warriors play basketball, it's no wonder why Carmelo would not be a good fit for the Cavaliers, because he would slow the Cavaliers down.
Silly.
What do you mean it's silly? It's the truth.
Silly.
And he doesn't play defense, and that's what the Cavaliers have to do.
So I mean,
you were playing against a bunch of gazelles at the Warriors. And I think Tyronn Lue also believes that his team is athletic and wants to get up and down the floor, and they want to get running, and they want to get out there, and they want to go make plays off the breakouts and off of transition. I think that's the new basketball that's being played, much like hockey is the way they're changing the game of hockey. Less grabbing and clutching. Now, the playoffs are a little bit different than that, but in the regular seasons, it's wide open. This basketball has been wide open, and Carmelo is not a wide-open basketball player.
That's why I wonder if it's a silly article.
Let me ask you a question.
It's a shot at Carmelo for no reason.
No, but this is serious. What, you mean in the paper today?
Yeah, it's stupid.
No, but here's the thing. I don't necessarily know that there's a team out there that's going to want to trade for Carmelo Anthony. I think they may have to release him, and then he'll sign with somebody.
Maybe. Possible. And even if they find a team that's willing to trade, he's got to say yes
to it
anyway.
Don't you say that? Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they have to release him. Maybe they just got to say, look, man, we can't come to an agreement. Now, if Carmelo, if they get to say, look, we have a chance to send you to Houston, we have a chance to send you to Chicago, we have a chance to send you to L.A., the Clippers, and he doesn't want to go to any of those places,
right?
Then he basically screws the Knicks.
Well, the Knicks screwed themselves.
But then the Knicks would end up having to release him.
If they have made the decision that he cannot play for them anymore,
I believe
then yes.
With everything that Phil Jackson has said over the last 2 months,
that he needs to be elsewhere. So do you.
Tells me that there is no way that Carmelo Anthony is ever putting on a uniform again that has New York on the front of it. Meaning that even if they can't trade him, they're going to release him.
Yeah, what's sad about that, it's kind of like David Harris. Give me some right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's how it works sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the 5 best Knicks of all time. Bye-bye. Here's Jerry Recco. Jerry, what do you got, kid?
We are brought to you by AmTrust Title, led by industry veteran Steve Napolitano. AmTrust Title, you're on solid ground. You mentioned David Harris right there. Here are just a couple of clips. He was released yesterday. Here was Todd Bowles about the money with Harris and essentially why this decision happened.
Talks broke down. I wasn't in those meetings. You know, it happened abruptly, obviously. What we wanted to give him and what he was willing to pay for was part of the business and part of the problem.
Well, I'd love to know what the numbers were. I know what he wanted because he had a contract, 6.5
million. It's kind of interesting.
What do they offer?
You're going to be our starting Mike linebacker, and we're going to want you out there making tackles like you always have, but we want to pay you less money for it.
Right.
So, listen, David Harris, they're doing him a favor.
Self-respect.
I think they're doing him a favor.
Let him go somewhere else. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, they had already cut like $45 million off the cap anyway. So why not? We're saving $6.5 million. I want to know as a fan, if I go to the games this year, where's my percentage of that savings? Right?
Yeah, okay.
That's like, cut that off your season ticket?
If I'm the Jets and I'm sitting in that meeting right now, Carton's on us. What are we going to do? The fan base is pissed. So you have a whole year now to remedy that. And the way you do it is by being the single most fan-friendly franchise in New York and recognize that it's a public trust. Meaning, free parties or concerts in the parking lot, events that fans can go to for free, meet your favorite Jet, just experiences. They now have a job, and that job, to me at least, is to win back the fans. Because we're pissed. Yeah, we already have our season tickets, right? So we got to go. We're not going to eat them. So when I go to MetLife Stadium, you know, I want pig spankings. And I want concerts. And I want parties and events and stuff to do to make my entire day enjoyable. Because I know the team ain't going to be any good.
Those 3 hours in between, not going to be great.
Right. And by the way, you can do it. You can pull that off. You can make a Jet game a happening. Now, the team itself, you just hope they compete. They ain't going to win a lot. But if you give me a great experience, like I bring my kids to MetLife, yeah, and I got some handsome bald guy spanking pigs with Belle Biv DeVoe and Dougie Fresh going, spank the pig, yo, spank.
Why do you think there were over 40,000 people at Yankee Stadium last night?
For two reasons.
No, but really, honestly, why?
Team's good, it's the Red Sox.
They're really good, they're entertaining, it's the Red Sox.
Yeah, but they're young and they're energetic.
Yes.
So the Jets are trying to get to that point.
Well, no, they're young, energetic, and they're winning.
They're winning. Well, yeah. Bingo, bango. And it's the Red Sox. They add it to the mix, too. And you're right. A rainy night, they had 42,000 people legitimately in their seats.
Yep.
So I would, listen, I have a job.
Why do you have your vinyl gloves on?
Because I'm cleansing myself of everything Jets today. I didn't want to touch nothing that's green.
Hmm. You're sucking from a green straw.
Not with my bare fingers, I'm not.
But I'm not touching your sultry
lips on that straw. You got your lips
you
on that
put
straw.
Put your lips upon my lips. I put my tongue upon your tongue. Jesse James, what's up?
Yeah, she's going to be gone,
Jesse
too.
Jesse James is going to be tonguing Eric Decker in some other city next year.
Yes, he was told he'll be traded or released as well. So that's what's going on
with
the
Jets. What do you think the Jets are paying me to be their game day advisor?
Game day, so game day, we're talking 10 dates, right? Two preseason games. Yeah. You got 8 regular season games. I would say you could make yourself $20,000.
20 grand?
$2,000 a day.
No, that's not going to work.
Well, what do you think it's worth?
I'm going to be like their game day fun advisor, like a CEO of fun.
Like you want a full-time gig where you're at MetLife Stadium, let's say twice, or Florham Park twice a week for the planning stages and everything?
No.
Or you just want to show up 10 times a year?
I show up as the director of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Fun's here. It's time to have some fun. Yeah, that's what I do.
You and Al walk in together.
Al's not fun.
But he's like your right-hand man.
Here, come over here. Let me show you some card tricks and some magic tricks and everything else.
By the way, I put on presentations in that parking lot every game. And in each quadrant of the lot, I got something going on. Maybe I have a magician in one thing. Maybe I got Hinder playing Lips of an Angel in another quadrant. Maybe I have
quadrants now.
A different 90s rap star.
Something, yeah.
You're turning this into a carnival.
Yes.
Hey, come to Gate C, Bob Holding.
You keep knocking bottles, he's going to punch you right in the mouth. He used to work on the docks in Bayonne. Say it again, Eddie. See if he doesn't come here and smack you around.
Oh, Eddie will say it.
Yeah, that's not true, too. We got security here. He's safe. I just think that's what the Jets have to do. Hey, Al, will you call the Jets for me? Tell me I want to talk to them.
We should do it for $100,000.
$100,000?
Ridiculous. $10,000 a day for three or 4 hours.
Al's telling me I should ask for 25 because he's going to get a piece. Yeah.
As the minister of fun.
I'm the minister of fun.
Minister of fun.
They pay me $250. I drop a 50 spot on Al. We're good.
We'll keep waiting for that call.
Wow.
They'll call me. Hey, oh, Jets, sure. Call me now. Tell me we have a deal. I don't know if I can. Am I allowed to do that with my job here? Probably.
I think so.
Yeah,
as long as I acknowledge it publicly.
They should take a team like the Jets that clearly have no hope, put them in London for a season, full season.
Bang, with Woody.
This is the perfect year to do
it. When you get ready to compete,
come on back.
Come back.
that's your punishment.
That's a pretty good idea.
That's how you test that actually the London is a good concept idea. Out. Because right, we don't want to go to games now. You suck.
Especially this season.
Yeah, right?
It's a great idea.
You tell the season ticket holders, no charge this year because there are, in fact, no games
They're
here.
They're in London.
They're all in London.
But you still have to buy the preseason.
And then Woody gets to watch his team in the country he'd rather be in. Be perfect.
That is true. We have breaking news. Novak Djokovic is out at the French Open.
Really, Jerry?
I just came across.
Jimmy Clinton, and I don't care.
By the way, me too, Eddie, but I figured, what the hell, might as well throw it out there. Let's do the Mets this hour. We didn't touch them last hour. I don't know how much time we have, but they were in Texas yesterday. They had a lead in the first inning, gave it away. Lead in the second inning, gave it away. Lead in the third inning, gave it away. You kind of see how this is going, and here was the final lead that the Rangers took that they kept.
1-1 from Gallo, right field. Jay Bruce towards the wall. Leaps up. And it's out of here.
That is Scott Braun on SNY. Joey Gallo, the two-run homer, putting the Rangers ahead for good. They would wind up beating
the
Mets 10-8.
I don't like to do that. Jay Bruce, that is one hell of an attempt to catch
that
ball.
I agree.
I mean, just missed. Maybe he jumped like a millisecond later, and he was robbed of one, too.
Yes, he was.
Later on, yes.
The kid Hoying took it away and literally had that glove over. Hoying.
Hoying.
Bobby's nephew.
Jared Hoying.
Bobby's nephew.
Okay. Anyway, they won 10-8. Here was Jacob DeGrom. He was the one that could not hold any lead last night. 8 runs, 10 hits over just 4 innings, and yet physically all good.
I feel fine. That's what's frustrating about it. Feel good. Just don't know where the ball's going right now.
And that's a problem. Mets have lost 5 of 6. They're sinking like a stone again. Zach Wheeler, Yu Darvish will go tonight. Then there are the Yankees, and they last night were taking on the Red Sox, and we know the deal with yesterday and what was going on with Boston and New York, and it's a big Tanaka Tuesday and everything. And well,
so
like,
upset.
I mean, I want to make sure. I want to give you proper credit.
But as you know, it is Tuesday, and what happens on Tuesdays?
Well, so you say, but
Tanaka
I can't confirm.
Tanaka Tuesday is a money maker.
But I cannot confirm that.
A money maker.
And the pitch is swung on and drilled to deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. And by the way, halfway up in the second deck, another tremendous home run against Tanaka.
Tanaka. The Tanaka Tuesday was... pretty much
knocked around a little bit, didn't
it? That was John on the Fan. Yankees wound up losing 5-4 to the Red Sox. Here was Joe Girardi. He was asked all sorts of questions. Tanaka has lost 5 straight. He has not been good, as we know. The ERA is soaring. He wants to know, you know, do you think he's hurt or something?
There's no lack of velocity. You know, his velocity is consistent. We've seen really good sliders. We've seen really good splits. There's nothing that tells us that. That he's hurt.
Right. So they said, you know, have you done an MRI? And Girardi said, why don't we just MRI everybody?
Well, he's right. He says he's not in any discomfort or pain. He's just getting shelled right now. There was one silver lining, and that's Chad Green came in and gave you 3 1/3 scoreless.
Kind of stabilized the game.
A little bit later on in the season,
Now we're talking about silver linings.
Maybe I start Chad Green and place
it
tonight.
This is when you know you're in trouble. You start talking about silver linings.
Your boy Chase Headley hit into a bad double play, too, last night with guys on base in a big
spot. Here's Tommy and Mattawan on the Fan. Tommy, what do you got, kid?
Hey, guys. How you doing there today?
Great.
All right, Tommy. What's going on?
Not too much. Just wanted to give Craig a little heads up if he's looking to be the minister of fun for the Jets.
Yeah.
He should maybe take in a Steeler game because what they do for the fans and the family and the kids is absolutely remarkable.
Give me one thing. Give me an example. One thing they do.
Well, they got clowns out there face painting with the kids. They got cornhole. They got, alumni players out there taking pictures, signing autographs.
I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm creating a fun,
yeah.
fun.
Yeah,
fun
but you
zone.
Know the Steelers also have Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but yes. pre-game.
Yeah,
it's
but
fun
they expect
zone.
They expect to win at home, Tommy.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what else I do?
Got there, yeah.
Tell you what else I do?
Cornhole.
Cornhole for sure. I tell you what else I do.
Cornhole.
I create and give out a lot of fried food.
What is the budget for this exactly?
They just saved $55 million.
Well, no, I mean, they are going to have to replace those guys.
We're going to take 10% of what they saved.
Why are you going to give away fried food?
They're going to give me a $5 million budget to be the minister of
food. Okay, why are we doing fried
because
food?
Because here's what you have
Al,
to
Al, you just got a raise.
Okay.
Yo, fried Oreos. I'll have one of those, right?
Yeah.
Fried chicken on a flapjack with sriracha. I set it up.
You are a tool.
I got dudes on stilts walking around going,
so
yo, welcome to the carnival.
Football fans.
It's really not about the football
win.
Game anymore.
They want to win, man. They don't care about all this other crap.
But when you know you're not going to win, you have to create.
They want
to
win.
Fun zone. Al, will you tell the Jets before they pick up the phone to have this big conference call? It's a $5 million commitment. They've saved $55 million under the cap, right? That's $55 million. That's not going towards better football. They will dedicate $5 million towards the Minister of Fun.
So strippers and porn stars.
So that's eight games. You're going to have that in one quadrant too, or no? You got Jerry run that for you.
Maybe you have.
Why would I run that for you?
It seems like you knew what it was all about.
Maybe you have an adult-only tent. What are we talking about?
Strippers and porn stars.
There you go, Jerry.
An adult-only tent.
There you go, Jerry. Am I the single guy here? No.
Adult-only tent. Yeah, but what's inside the tent?
If he's going to pay,
I'm going to pay him.
Yeah, you have to pay him.
Jerry's just not fun. I got to come up with something fun for Jerry to do, you know. Maybe I have like the Alan Jerry's boring podcast zone.
We could be live every Sunday. Jerry's so busy, though, doing those cowboy play-by-play games he does on the weekends.
That is true. You wear cowboy boots during the weekends?
Al or me?
You.
Jerry puts that big cowboy hat on.
I do wear the hat.
And does the broadcast.
Do you like do the broadcast in any cowboy gear? Sweatshirt, T-shirt, underwear?
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Of course he does.
Nice polo shirt with the star. Why wouldn't
I? You do, because you're alone in your home when you do it.
Why would you not wear the gear?
But why would you? This,
why wouldn't you?
But like, you're not out and about.
Do I not come here wearing TikTok stuff
I
and Boomer Esiason and stuff?
But you're on TV.
Right. So you're promoting our charity, which is very kind of you.
And if we weren't, and matter of fact, there have been days you guys have not been here and TV's not with us, I still wear it.
I like that. I appreciate that.
Of course
that.
I wear it.
Nice. Good for you.
I attempted to play golf yesterday.
It's like when you have that big,
not go well.
You have
I
that big
TikTok
flag
stop
out in front of your house.
Also true. How can you play golf with that bad
back? I tried. It did not go well.
It's stupid.
I got
to
through
even
five. I got through five holes. That was
really?
That was the end.
Why would you even try if you know that your back hurts?
Because I was feeling good and I figured, what the hell? I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Ah! You could have saved yourself for softball tonight, but you know.
No, that will not be. That will never happen again.
Are you coming to softball tonight?
I'll be there.
That's why he's the best. Al, are you coming tonight? For the big game against the Hebrew?
Oh, the big game, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Hey, enjoy today, the softball game day. A lot of driving back and forth tomorrow. Not happy.
By the way, I forgot about that.
Was that a big barbecue?
Was that a Jerry and Al podcast?
That was a podcast because he was out of sorts because it was the day before we had a softball game and there was going to be some driving.
So they'll be driving tonight.
Too. I said, enjoy the rest of your day because tomorrow you're back.
Good news. The Jets apparently reached out to Steve Smith to join the team.
Yeah,
David Harris can't play for them, but Steve Smith, who's retired, can.
I see what's coming. You don't see what's coming? Does anybody here see what's coming?
The Minister of Fun.
No.
No.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Strippers and porn stars.
Yes.
No. You know what's coming.
Don't say it.
I could hear it the first week of September.
Go ahead, say it.
Jets fans for Giants.
No, that's never going to happen.
Yes,
stop it with that.
I was going to go Jets fans for Yankees.
Shame on you,
Let's go to Dave and Popham Lakes. Dave, you're on the fan with Boomer and Carton. What's happening?
Boom and Carton, what's going on?
All right, what's happening?
That's what I just wanted to bring up. When's he going to be the Jets for the Giants?
Never.
Yeah, you know, that's coming because he loves Eli, loves McAdoo, loves Odell Beckham Jr., loves Jerry Reese and John Mara and the Tisch family.
Well, I do like them.
Yes, you like everybody. Yeah.
I will say this.
Giants fans like myself.
That'll never happen, sir. It's not on the table.
That's happening. That's happening this year,
never.
I can tell you. Yes.
I will say this. I happen to be blessed that I have a great relationship with the New York Giants.
You're like Justin Bieber. You're a front runner.
But that's not on the table. No, I'm sorry. It's not on the table. I'm a Jet fan. Always have been. Always will be. Much like the New York Knicks.
Oh, you were a Mets fan,
right. Same thing about the Mets.
Yes, a diehard Met fan.
Right.
Mookie Wilson's still my favorite player of all time. But
it's in the toilet now.
I don't
care.
Thank
you, Davey. Thank you, Davey.
I don't care for the owner's son.
All
right.
Oh well, that's good. That's fine.
I think they should sell the team. That's what I think.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Sometimes he eats the cookies in there.
Well, he goes in. Was he hiding?
Yeah.
It's like cupboard binging. Hey, Booms, what's happening, buddy? Yeah. Yep, he went Oreos.
Got to make sure you get all of it in you.
Well, I was wondering why you're sitting in front of the microwave. You're typically not a microwave guy during the show. And then you're an Oreo guy.
I'm actually ticked off to you idiots.
No,
you ate all my Tate's brownie crisps. You ate them all.
Well.
So I need a little something. I was looking for my Tate's bags, and guess what? They're gone. Animals. That's
animals.
What you people are.
Absolute animals. That's right. All right.
Especially you, Eddie.
Well, what did
Eddie
do?
You sneak those things.
Did you sneak the brownie thins, you?
I can't comment right now.
Here's Mike in Staten Island on The Fan. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Boomer Carton, what's going on?
All right, Mike, what's happening?
Hey, listen, man. Boomer, I mean, Carton, I'm with you on that one, man. I think that you'd be a great minister of fun. I just want to say that.
That's it. That's my new job, minister of fun.
I got to say, as a Met and Jets fan, I'm really getting frustrated. First off, getting rid of David Harris. I mean, I think that was terrible. Screwing him out of a couple million. Then they want to release Eric Decker. And then let's go. What's the solution to get rid of Eric Decker? Let's go get Steve Smith out of retirement.
Yeah, that one doesn't make much sense to me. But
it's a joke.
How about this? The starting wide receivers for the Jets as of right now are Quincy Enunwa and Robbie Anderson. Those are your starting wide receivers.
It's a joke. I think Enunwa could have a good season, but it's getting embarrassing. And as a Jets fan, my teams are an embarrassment. It's really terrible.
You know, I look at the Jets wide receiver crew right there, and then I think about the wide receiver crew we started the 1995 season with.
You had Wayne Krabet.
Right, rookie. No right. catches.
You count Johnny Mitchell.
I think we had – no. Who's a tight end? I think
you're talking just wide receivers?
I want to say we had Ryan Yarbrough, Wayne Krabet, Stevie Anderson. Now, we picked up Charles Wilson right before the season started.
Right.
We got him from Tampa Bay. So Sam Weiss was his coach. So I had you talk about having an interpreter.
Right.
I had to interpret the offense that we were running at the Jets and put it in the vernacular.
Yeah, Ryan Yarbrough was on that team.
Of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I'm just saying, like, starting the season, I think we had a four total catches at the wide receiver position, if I remember correctly, before we acquired Charles Wilson in a trade.
You had Curtis Caesar. Remember him? He was only here for four games, but he was here. You don't remember him. Kind of Grambling. No? All right.
No.
You had Jeff Blank. He played in six games. He was from Hawaii. Seidner.
No record. What?
Jeff Seidner.
Really?
Yep. And you had Ryan Yarbrough.
Yeah, I remember Ryan. Ryan was from Wyoming. Wyoming.
Went to Wyoming, started two games.
He came into that season before we acquired Charles Wilson with the most catches of any wide receiver on the roster. I think it was four.
You know what's amazing about that offensive juggernaut? You had five wide receivers.
Yep.
But to be fair, you really had three because two of them only were here for four or five games.
Right.
And you had four tight ends.
Kyle Brady. Johnny Mitches.
You had two others.
Was Jim Thornton still here?
Tyrone Davis out of Virginia.
Ty Davis, yeah, I remember. Okay.
And Fred Baxter.
And Freddie Baxter, okay.
There you go. That's it.
I know where the Jets are right now. I mean, at least Quincy Enunwa is actually growing into something. Now, you know, it's like, you know, that's actually a pretty good get if he continues to grow into something.
Now, I don't know the answer. I don't know how many running backs a team will have over the course of a season.
Yep.
That are rostered, even if it's for a couple of games. How many running backs do you think you went through that year?
All right. I know we had Richie Anderson and Adrian Morrell.
Two.
Love those guys.
Go ahead.
And those guys are really good players. They're just young at that time.
Go ahead.
Was Freddie Baxter on the team?
Brad Baxter. You got that. Yep, there, three. Yeah. Yep.
Fullback. Love Brad Baxter too, man.
Go ahead. Boom.
Was Johnny Johnson on that team?
Nope.
Ron Johnson?
Nope.
Yes, we traded.
Nope. Not that year. Do you remember Kenyon Rashid?
No.
He played three games for the Jets that year.
No.
Do you remember Ronald Moore?
Ron Moore. That's who we traded Rob Moore for. Ronald Moore. That's like Ron Johnson.
Do you remember Sheridan May?
No.
He started a game.
I don't remember.
Do you remember Dexter Carter?
Yes. Yeah. Dexter we got from San Francisco. I think we signed him as a free agent.
Well, there you go. Like Sheridan May started a game in your backfield.
I know. Oh, it was tough. It was a tough season.
Real quick, while I'm on it. All right. You carried two kickers that year. One punter, two kickers. One kicker was from Pittsburgh. One was from Dartmouth.
Well, Nick
Lowry's correct.
Yeah.
Out of Dartmouth. And who played... who's the other kicker from Pitt? Do you remember Don Silvestri? Vaguely. All right. And, of course, Brian Hansen was your punter.
Yes.
that's so pathetic, that team.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Here's Craig in Tinton Falls. Craig, what do you got?
What's going on, guys? My man, Craig. What's going on? Listen, I wanted to talk about the Jets, guys. You know, I'm a big Jets fan, diehard. I've been season ticket holder for the last 10 years. I'm very optimistic about this season. I know, Carton, you don't see it the same way, and a few other Jets fans don't see it the same way.
What are you optimistic about?
I'm actually excited for this.
For what?
For this season. I'm actually excited to see these young guys. You know, I'm upset about some of the vets going, but I think seeing these young guys actually, you know, see what we got to. We got in Penny and Hackenberg. I think it will be good for the team, and it will be good for the future.
Well, listen, if you can see the forest for the trees and contemplate a year from now and have no problem with that, then you're a much more optimistic and positive guy than 98% of the fan base. I respect that. That's just not my reality. Doesn't mean that you're wrong. If you're going to enjoy the kind of unproven youth movement for the sake of trying to find a couple diamonds in the rough,
yeah,
so that moving forward you have great players, that's on you. And by the way, I shouldn't be the one to tell you not to enjoy that.
I'm trying to piece it all together as to what's going on here. I know that, you know, the sky is falling right now for the Jets because they just got rid of two very popular players. They also traded Calvin Pryor. They cut Devin Smith. I mean, he's making moves, and he's I see what he's trying to do.
Right.
I mean, Josh McCown has got a one-year contract. Hackenberg and Petty, I'm sure, are struggling with the new offense and trying to figure it all out. Maybe without saying they are tanking, they are trying to tank to get one of these guys. I don't know.
I think that's what they're doing. Well, I know, and they're saving $50 million.
But I do know this.
If you could save $50 million, I mean.
I do know this. For a fan base that, unfortunately, things haven't gone all that well over the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
To now know that you knew you had no shot this year at a Super Bowl. There's no shot.
Right.
There's nothing. You have the second or third worst quarterback situation in the NFL right now, and we don't know what to expect, and we don't know what we're going to get from the quarterback position and the offense, which is all new. These moves like this, they basically just tell you there's no way.
Here is Christina in Emerson, New Jersey on the Fan. Hi, Christina. How you doing, doll?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
What's happening?
Baby.
I'm calling. I was wondering if you'd let me shout out the Emerson Cavos High School Group 1 baseball team.
I don't think so.
Yeah, go ahead. That's all right. What are they doing? Are they in some sort of state tournament?
Yes, they're going to Toms River on Saturday. But 2 years ago, they were going down, and I called you guys. Same time, and they won, so I feel like it's good luck. I had to do it again.
Well, Boom and I have been known to heal and to bring good luck to people that, you know, organically ask for it. And since we did that for you last year, I don't see why we wouldn't bring you the good luck. So here's how it's going to work. Now, what's your connection to the team?
My husband is the coach. This is his third year and
great.
His second time going down.
So here's what's your husband's first name?
Chris.
So here's what you have to do.
It's Chris and Christina.
Okay. All right, you have to. Where are you? Are you home right now?
I am in the backyard of my 3-year-old.
Okay, have you made all the beds ready and taken care of the dishes and done all that?
Yeah, that's my job, right?
All right, great. All right, so now that that's done, we can have a little fun. I need you to put your left hand on your 3-year-old's head.
Here we go.
Palm his head, okay?
Got it.
Put your right hand up in the air.
How is she going to hold on to the phone?
What? Yeah, I don't want to hang up on you.
No, like put it in the nook of your shoulder. You know what I'm saying. I want you to go, Mecca Lecca High.
Mecca Mecca High.
Mecca Heiny Ho.
Mecca Heiny Ho.
Now you have to do that 3 times with some feeling, and you guys will win the tournament.
And that's a guaranteed win for you, Christina.
Go ahead.
All right, but you got to do it with me.
No, that's a problem. I can only show you the way. You have to do it by yourself, or with your 3-year-old can help you, but I got to hear it from you guys. Go ahead.
Okay, 100-year-old, you're going to stay with me. Ready? Mecca, Mecca, hi.
No, I see you got that wrong. Oh.
What?
It's it's Mecca, Lecca, hi.
Oh, Mecca, Lecca, hi.
No, again, it's Mecca, Lecca, hi, Mecca, Heiny, ho.
Mecca, Lecca, hi, Mecca, Heiny, ho.
Okay, now do it with your son. Go ahead.
My daughter said, Mecca, Lecca, hi. Mecca, hi, ni ho.
One more time.
Just like a 3-year-old.
All right.
Okay, now, what's your 3-year-old's name?
Hunter Rose.
Hunter?
Rose. Hunter, yes.
Hunter Rose. Hunter
yes.
Rose.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ask Hunter Rose to say it one time for mommy. Go ahead.
Hunter Rose, can you say it one time?
Yeah.
Say Mecca Lecca.
Mecca Lecca.
Hi.
Hi.
Lecca.
Lecca.
Heine.
Heine.
Hi. Ho.
You're going to win. That's
there
it.
There you go, Chris. Did a good job.
Good
luck to
you guys.
And your husband and his team. Yep.
Yeah, by all means. That's a cute 3-year-old.
Yes.
Mecca, Lecca, hi. Mecca, hi, ho.
Hi, Boomer. Hey, it's a boomer, bitch.
Some people raise their kids different. That's all I'm saying.
I get it. I know you do.
That's all I'm saying. Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
Tanaka says he was asked if he needs to take some time maybe. Maybe, you know, skip a spot in the rotation.
As far as skipping starts, I can't give you an answer on that. You know, that's up to the manager.
Which he says looks fine.
Well, he spoke perfect English there. Why did he need a translator on the mouth?
That is the translator.
Oh, that was the translator.
Yes, I didn't know I needed to say that again. I'm sorry. That's always the translator with Tanaka.
Always.
Five innings.
You think the guys that use translators, like when there's no outsiders in the locker room, are like, yo, my man, hey, let's get some Jersey mics. I'll get the gabagool.
I bet you that Tanaka could probably communicate with his teammates and stuff about things. I'm sure he can.
Yeah, like, may I please have some water? I'm sure he can say that, right? English is a very easy language to pick up.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's because you know it.
No, I haven't. Yes, I do know it. But, like, we learned it, like, from the Brits. That wasn't easy, I'm sure, at the beginning. But it's the easiest language to pick up, you know?
Well, based on what?
Can I explain?
Like, who says that?
I mean, Craig learned it when he was like a kid.
Child. Yeah, baby. Yeah. I mean, Chinese and English are the two hardest languages to learn.
That's incorrect, sir. English is the single easiest language to learn.
That is not incorrect.
What? So where's the source? Like, where does that come from?
You're sitting there and you're saying this. Where does that come from?
Okay, I'll give you the source. It's a number of sources.
Okay.
Number one, no matter where you go in the world, the people there can speak at least a little broken English and know how to. I don't care where you go. Every place you go, there's a little English.
So it's not what we're discussing, though.
Someone. Number two.
That's not what we're discussing.
No. If you come here and you speak German, you ain't finding people that speak German unless you get lucky. You understand? Number two. How often have you gone into a club, a bar, a karaoke place, and had everyone in the place singing a song in another language? When's the last time that happened?
It's not popular worldwide.
You're right, Craig. Our singing artists can go all over the world sing in English, and they enjoy it.
When was the last time?
We would never go to Giant Stadium to hear a language not English because we couldn't enjoy it because we don't know it.
Thank you.
Because we don't play it.
No.
We don't listen to it. They're not marketed here.
Whoever the biggest French or German or Norwegian rock star is, they never come here because we can't speak it. But if you take Justin Bieber
and you send him over there, the language isn't hard to learn.
Language is impossible to learn.
If someone comes here that does not know any English.
Yeah.
Right?
They know no English whatsoever.
They speak Chinese, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know anything else.
Within 30 days, they can speak enough English to navigate the subways.
You know, the amazing thing is Al can't navigate the subways. He's been speaking English his entire life. Come on, man.
That's a fair point.
Al's not a fair comparison to make. He's
stop,
not.
Stop. That's,
no, stop what?
Stop. Just stop. Go ahead, Jerry.
No. Go
ahead, Jerry.
You've traveled all over the world.
Yes, I have.
Have you ever been to a country in which you couldn't find someone immediately that spoke English? Ever.
But that's not the art. You said it's easy to learn English. That's not the case.
I think a lot of people, obviously, a lot of countries are teaching English because of the influence of the United States
and
because of England and the commerce that goes on between our countries with everybody else.
Here's the final proof.
Yes.
All right, Mr. Commerce. You love your dogs. How many dogs you got now?
One.
I apologize. You lost a dog.
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Which dog died?
Buckley.
Oh. How old was Buckley? 17?
20.
20?
That's a good
run for a dog. Buckley was your... Didn't I give Buckley a slanget?
Yes, you did.
I love that dog. All right. When
you just made me all sad. I don't know why you do that.
Boomer got upset. Boomer's, you're crying.
I'm not crying.
You just
you're going Jacob DeGrom on us?
No, you just teared up. I apologize.
Well, you just brought something up.
Boomer,
why did you bring Buckley up in the first place?
Well, I was going to tell you now that I've humanized you.
Yeah, okay.
Boomer Esiason's crying right now.
No,
I respect that. You loved your dog.
No, he's not. So stop.
It's all right. By the way, show some emotion. It's fine. Yeah, you're a normal human being. You cry sometimes. It's okay.
What are you trying to say?
If you said to Buckley,
yes,
sit.
She would have sat.
It's a repeated command.
Even dogs know English.
You're such an idiot.
No. Yeah.
Okay? If you said to Buckley, siéntate, he's like, go F yourself.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go eat something, right?
Right, okay.
That's my point.
You're so stupid.
You are stupid.
That's not the way it works.
You're such a dummy.
If siéntate, if you did it over and over and over again, and every time you said siéntate, you gave the dog a treat. Guess what the dog's going to think every time you say siéntate?
Nope.
Here's the treat. By the way, am I saying something ridiculous right now?
No, the dog only speaks English here. No siéntate. Well, you all right, Booms?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You want Jerry to hug you?
No, I don't want Jerry to come
20 years
me.
Is a long time.
It is. The dog had a great run.
Great run.
Sweetest dog in the world. Oh, you guys are unbelievable.
That's horrible.
You guys are idiots.
Do you bury Buckley?
Eddie,
you
have no soul.
Cremate. Kids all right with it?
Yes.
Family's okay?
Yeah, everybody's fine. Thank you.
Randy, dealing with it all right?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah.
This is terrible. I mean, honestly, what's next? Like dog ladies sounds? And,
ladies and gentlemen, it's not working again. Come on. God damn it.
All right, you can turn it off now.
Sorry. Not
you
me.
Know, and of all people, Eddie, you're close to your dogs.
Yes, I am.
I can't believe you're doing that to me.
Doing what?
Doing what you just
can't
did.
Can't play that.
Can't play that.
That's
after
awful.
You
got emotional. I like when you get emotional.
Oh, you do? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it shows you're still a person, you know?
What are you talking
about?
Well,
you've done that already. We know that.
I know, but this is proof positive of me humanizing him.
Man, it's going to be all right, Booms. Oh, you know, I don't want the same. I have to work with you, idiots.
Are you going
to
get another dog?
I have Beanie.
I know you're Beanie, but will you get like a partner for Beanie, like a buddy?
You know, not necessarily.
Really?
I can't, you know, there's other people involved in this decision. It's not just me.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you can just go bring a dog home.
Yeah, but right. You just don't do that. You got to get over the loss of the previous
Actually,
dog.
It helps to get over the loss.
And then
just
you name the
one.
New dog Buddy, and you have a Beanie Buddy.
No. So stupid.
Or mine just name him Baby.
Beanie Baby.
Right.
There you go. Always a B, though, with the dogs.
Yes.
Nice.
It was Billy.
Billy Buckley.
It was named
Beanie.
After Billie Jean King.
Right.
Who was a Vizsla.
About that.
She lasted about, I think, to the age of 14.
They live long, the little doggies.
Yeah. Well, that's not a little dog.
The big dogs don't live so long, like people.
And Buckley lasted to almost 20 years of age, yes.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you eulogize him?
No, we didn't eulogize him. Oh, God. You know when the dog died, it was the morning of my golf tournament.
I know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, because yes. Boomer kept it a secret from you people.
You people?
I will remember
okay.
you.
All right.
Now you're taking it to another level. That sucks.
You may get punched in the
where
face
is,
if you don't
Where
calm
is
down.
The slanket?
I think the slanket got cremated along with Buckley.
I have no problem with that. Just in case you cared. I'm good with it.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.